You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
How about them Cowboys?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What you don't have is a fourth Lombardi trophy. How bad do you want it, Jerry Jones?
Available now on the Rich Eisen Show app.
I did ask the man upstairs when I got the third one. I said, if you'll give me this one, I'll never ask again. Retrade that deal.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, actor Paul Rudd, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt. Coming up, Super Bowl defensive back Aqib Talib, plus actor Lamorne Morris. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Two guests and then you. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial, and we'll take your phone calls in this third hour. We just had a fun second hour. Paul Rudd and Kyle Brandt back to back. Lots of laughs right there as Paul Rudd helped name our fantasy team that was drafted just yesterday by Chris Brockman on behalf of this show in the Alice in Chains Fantasy League run by Jerry Cantrell that we won 2 years ago. Whirlpool of Despair is the name of our team. That's what Paul Rudd chose out of a vast array of very impressive candidates, including a little shot of Tessitore, Gene Steratore's index card.
I like that one.
I thought that would be good. But no, Whirlpool of Despair is what Paul chose. Very good on that. And Kyle Brandt joined us last hour, mentioned Dak Prescott as his choice of MVP. So that was an interesting choice. Mine is Patrick Mahomes. I think it's going to be Mahomes again, just lighting it up. But I do not have the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. I will reveal my Super Bowl pick tomorrow. I'm waiting till tomorrow. I have the extra 48 hours. Normally, I would have had it to mention it on last night's NFL Network season preview show. But Michael Irvin bogarted the last 40 seconds of the Showtime air and just took it all out because he's choosing the Cowboys to win it all, and he went off. So I'm using that extra 48 hours as a reprieve, and Mike Evans' soft tissue injury might have something to, you know, I need to think long term. I've got to stick with the conviction, what my gut feels, but Mike Evans is a soft tissue injury, something, again, that Chris Brockman will maybe run down some injury news a little bit.
Yeah, we can do it out the door today.
Okay,
yeah.
We'll do that. But joining us right now here on this show is a man who I think he announced his retirement literally a half an hour before he went on the air. And he's retiring from the National Football League and now heading into the world of podcasting after a dozen years of playing with distinction. A man who was drafted in the 2008 first round by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and a Super Bowl champion with the Denver Broncos in Super Bowl 50, Aqib Talib, here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Aqib?
I'm good, fellas. What's going on?
How y'all doing? We are pleased that you have decided to call into our show the day that you retired. Why'd you decide to no longer play in the National Football League, Aqib?
I think I lost it in my heart. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of how I explained it on my show. I couldn't really dive into it on my podcast, but you know, you got that feeling, Rich. If you got it, you got it. When you lose that feeling, you kind of know you lose that feeling. You know what I'm saying? So that little itch for the game, that competitive edge, I think that kind of left me, man. You know, I don't know what the reason for that being. You know, maybe it's your age. Maybe it's seeing your kids grow up. You want to be home more. It's a lot of things that play parts in that. But all in all, I just thought it was the right time for me.
Is it a fact, Aqib, that you told Bill Belichick no when he offered you a job to play in 2020? Is that a fact?
Oh, it's definitely a fact. I appreciate Bill too, man. He always got me in mind every time I'm free. Every time it's anytime it's Aqib Talib may change teams, Bill is always checking on me. I'm always on his mind, man. I think he respects me as a player. He respects what I do on the field, and man, I definitely respect him as a coach, man. How can you not? And I really respect him as a GM, man, because Bill gonna call you. He gonna tell you live and direct what he think, and you know what I'm saying, what we can do. So I just always love working with him. And I felt bad. Honestly, Rich, I felt bad, man. I really wanted to do it, but like I said, it just wasn't there. You know what I'm saying?
Well, what was his offer, Aqib?
Rich, I don't want to put all the numbers out there, but it was decent. It was a nice veteran contract. I maybe could have brought home $5.5-6 million. It would have been not too hard for me to bring that home either. So
that's right.
It was a decent contract.
Right, and what would your role have been for New England?
I would have had a tight end guard. And if anything, you tune in to the show, the call to the booth. And I really tell the long version of the story. But it would have been a nice, you know, inside role, dime version of a safety kind of role. A lot of tight ends, guarding a lot of tight ends.
Okay. Well, that's a veteran move broadcasting already, Aqib, for a veteran of the NFL going into broadcasting, which is to promote your show and mention your show a couple of times and also say to tune in for the real stuff.
You know how I gotta go, Rich.
No, I understand. No, it makes complete sense, and we'll get to your podcast in a second. Let's talk about your career. Your greatest achievement on the football field would be what?
Super Bowl 50, definitely. That probably was the best feeling that I ever had playing football ever in my life. So second to none, hands down, it was the confetti falling, Super Bowl 50, looking for my family at the end of that game. That had to be the number one feeling of my entire career.
And then playing in the Super Bowl against New England with the Rams, Aqib, what was it like that day going against Tom Brady in a brutal defensive battle that was a points challenged affair?
Man, it was a movie, Rich. It was pregame, the whole experience, Atlanta experience, man. It was my second one, so you know, I kind of was a little calmer this time. I kind of really got to sit back and, you know, take it all in. But just preparing against those guys, man, watching Tom, watching the different ways they can attack you, man. Seeing Sean in that offense and Jared in that offense, just, you know, get ready for the many ways that they can attack you on defense. And it was just a great football experience, man. Something that I could say I did in my career, you know, just prepared against Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, against Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl, man, Julian Edelman, Gronk, the whole cast. So, man, it's just the process of doing it is so, you know what I'm saying, it's satisfying. Just even before the game, the whole process leading up to the game, sitting in that room and watching this tape, it's just so satisfying, man. So I definitely enjoyed it.
Well, you know what Saints fans would say about you and the Rams being in that game. What was your perspective of the Nickell Robey-Coleman non-call? Were you near it? Where were you at that very moment in time?
I really was kind of close. I was on Mike Thomas. I think he ran like a little 5-yard sit-down route. Mm-hmm. We was kind of in the slot. So I really seen it. I really was pretty close to it. And it's fast, man. Rich, you know, football is fast. Stuff happens fast. And it happened so fast, I didn't really know what happened. The ref, he ain't know what happened as well. So he just let us play. So you got to understand that. We're not fans at that moment. We actually playing in the game, and they actually reffing the game, and stuff is actually happening live. So you're not going to just catch everything. To me, honestly, it looked like a bang-bang play. I thought, I'm like, Rob, you should have picked it. My first thing. I'm like, Rose should have picked it. I thought he should have intercepted the ball. And my first thought wasn't, oh, it's pass interference. I thought like, oh, you missed the pick. That's the first thing that came to my head. So football happens fast, man. So, hey, if they blew it, they blew it. It's not the first. It won't be the last.
No, I know. You're retired now. Is that pass interference, Aqib, now that you've seen it second, third, fourth thought?
Hell yeah, it was past me, Ben. He was earning it.
Okay.
It definitely was past the defense. He was early as hell. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I
found. But it happens fast, though. Stuff happens fast.
Well,
it was.
And so does obviously the end of stays at teams, as you know. Jalen Ramsey was acquired by the Rams, and then you were sent to Miami, where you never played, and now obviously you're retired. And on the day where Jalen Ramsey hits it and hits it very large with a 5-year, $105 million contract, does it at least give you some sort of solace in the fact that the Rams paid him in swapping out in a way, or they led you
to
a path?
I don't really look at it like that, Rich.
How do you
look at it like it's the business that I'm in. You know what I'm saying? I had a chance to get Jalen. You got to get Jalen. How can you not? So I don't look at it like, well, at least they paid him. They got rid of me for him. No, I don't. I'm happy for him. Matter of fact, I just talked to him this morning. Reggie and that training staff FaceTimed me. You know what I'm saying? Just to, congratulate me on my career and stuff. And, put Jalen on in the training room, hanging out. And I told him congrats this morning. So that's a friend of mine. So I don't even really look at it like that, Rich. It's business. At the end of the day, it's a business. So I've been in it for a decade plus. So I fully understand the business side of it.
The Aqib Talib here on the Rich Eisen Show, the day that he retires. Let's talk about your podcast again, a multi-platform podcast called Call to the Booth Podcast with you and Michael Crabtree. Did I get that right?
hey, he should have did the show with me, man. We would have went nuts. Crabtree called me, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We'll fire Harrison. We'll make Crabtree the co-host. You know what I'm saying? And we'll go nuts, man. Let's put our differences aside. We really already did, for real.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
So
hit me up, Crab. You can be the co-host of the show, baby.
Look, it's with Harrison Sanford, which is an interesting way for me to describe Michael Crabtree. So, I mean, are you guys, like, well, what was that all about, Aqib?
What's that? Me and Crabtree?
Yeah.
It's just football. It's football. We live in the same city. Things got kind of heated, It's entertainment at the same time. It's part of what we do. It's part of our business. We talked since then. I ran into him.
All right.
And here in the city, we talked since then, man. I think we good.
Okay. That's good. Well, I think he'd be a great guest for your podcast. I certainly would tune in to that.
Yeah. I gotta hit him up.
Okay.
See if we're really good.
Okay. So let's obviously kick the tires here on your being part of the paparazzi. Who do you have winning Super Bowl 55, Aqib?
55. It's hard not to pick the Chiefs, Rich. It's hard. It's hard not to pick the Chiefs again, just because I don't see. No matter what they do on defense, they got a great leader on defense, and they got a great defensive coordinator. So I think the scheme and Tyrann Mathieu himself, he gonna make the defense believe that they the best in the league. That's the kind of guy he is. You know, that was the kind of guy I was, Richie, when I was in the locker room with guys. You know, mm-hmm. it's glue guys who like that. They just make everybody around them think they good. But you think they good. You know what I'm saying? You have everybody believing we good. So I think the defense is going to handle itself.
Right.
And Patrick Mahomes and that offense, man, can't nobody stop that. So can't nobody stop it. I don't see them. It's going to be hard for the Chiefs not to win again.
Right.
Barring injury, I'm picking the Chiefs, Rich.
Okay, so barring injury. And I guess last question for you here on live television and streaming is Brady and Belichick on separate teams. How do you think either one is approaching the season? Obviously, they're focused on the task at hand, but I know that they're going to focus on the task at hand. We in the media are not, though. You're now part of you're now part of this. How do you think either man, when they're maybe alone, thinks about this?
I don't know. It's like, it's a relationship almost. You know what I'm saying? It's a work relationship. You know what I'm saying? We work together. We really the head of the ship, both of us, really. And if we split, it's going to be, you're going to think about him, He's going to cross your mind. Tom going to cross his mind. Bill going to cross his mind. And at the same time, it's a business. They got to get to it. You don't really have no time to wait. You don't have no time to bleed. Coach Raheem Morris always say that. You don't got no time to really dwell on it.
Right.
You got to move on. But I think they definitely both had a place in their heart for each other, man.
Of course.
That work relationship, you've been so successful, it's hard not to, had that relationship with somebody.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, 20 years is remarkable. We'll never see that again. And right. And I know, and we always talk about how Brady left, and but I mean, it's 20 years. I mean, it was that long, and so it's kind of understandable that maybe before it is all over for a quarterback wanting to try someone else, I get it. But when you were there in New England, did you see any gear grinding that led you to believe that this could possibly happen one day?
Nah, it was normal. I was there at least from the, you know, outside looking in. I don't really know the ins and the outs of it, but Bill did what he did, man. He treated everybody the same. He'd get on Tom just like he'd get on me, get on Gronk, get on whoever, you know, a rookie, a guy who I don't even know his name. So Bill treated everybody the same in the building. So it was normal to me. It looked regular to him, from my point of view.
Okay. Hey, Aqib, thanks for joining on the day that you have retired. Congrats on stepping into the podcasting world with Call to the Booth. Episodes drop Wednesdays and Thursdays throughout the 2020 season where podcasts can be gotten. Come back here on the show if you want me to return the favor and be a home and home and be on the pod. I'm more than happy to do it.
Hey, I appreciate that, Rich. I'm going to hold you to that, too.
You do.
So when you get a text from me, you know what I'm saying, telling you a time and a place.
Okay, you got it.
We got to run it, Rich.
You got it. Thanks for the call, Aqib. You take care.
Hey, thank you.
You got it. That's Aqib Talib right here on the Rich Eisen Show on the day that he has retired. And when I say by return the favor, I will call into his show and curse up a blue streak.
I was going to say, we're so very blue.
I say to those where we're testing whatever delays we have on our quadcast, if one slipped past the goalie, I apologize. If there are kids in the room, we hope there were the proverbial earmuffs.
It's 2020.
You know, all that said, obviously he's got a very unique take with 12 years.
Oh, yeah.
And not many defensive guys are out there talking football. Usually it's on the offensive end. So Aqib Talib, and one person who I think is very pleased that he is retired, is Michael Irvin, who could never pronounce his name. Sometimes it would be Aqib Talib. You know, I mean, it's Aqib Talib from Kansas.
Oh, yeah.
Making his way in. Chris Harris Jr. now is going to have to hold down the Kansas fort in the secondary in the National Football League. There's not many of those Jayhawks out there. We come back. We'll take your phone calls, 844-204-RICH, here on the program, where Lamorne Morris of Hulu's Woke, formerly of New Girl, will be talking some hoops as well, still to come. Hey, folks, how exciting is this? The football season is finally upon us, and this season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. I have Game Pass from the National Football League every year, and it is a perfect way for me to do my job and also just be a fan. It is amazing. When I say every single part of the football world that you can handle all in one place, it is true. And NFL Game Pass, again, is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. How cool is that? Go to NFL.com/Game Pass. To start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. Bet online to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. NBCSN will be rejoining us in a moment. And then this segment we're coming up, we'll talk a little bit more ball. I cannot tell you how excited I am. There are some Sneaky good week one matchups, too, that I think we should take a look at later on this week. And not in your version of sneaky good, but just like where if a team starts 0-1, it might start things off, and 1-0 might start things off. I'll give you one coming up, too. It's big. Nobody's talking about it. It's big.
Big.
People are talking about one of the quarterbacks in it, but it's big. It's large. And by large, I mean huge.
Oh.
By huge, I mean
enormous.
Particularly enormous. Yeah.
I've got a great stat for sneaky good games.
Again, and I, you know, it's one of those two where I just need to take a little bit of a meditative break in the 2 minute break here on Peacock. Literally, Aqib Talib said the word ship about three times.
Ship.
And each time I kind of a little hitch in my giddy up. I looked at you.
And I was like, ship.
Ship.
Yeah.
Ship. Well, I mean, he's talking about the Buccaneers ship. Ship,
right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ship happens.
Fire truck, though, he definitely said.
Yeah. Fire truck.
Oh, boy. Oh, man.
As a kid.
We're back in a second here. Week one is upon us, people.
Look at that.
Look at that. I mean, all right, keep that up for a second, Don.
Baby.
Keep that up for a second.
Come on.
There are a handful of sneaky good week one games that have a lot of storylines in it that people aren't talking about right now. Because you look at the bottom of it right there, column two. I mean, that's gonna take up a ton of oxygen in the NFL week one room right there. Bucks and Saints, right? And, you know, we'll talk about, this is what we'll do. We'll do it on Friday show, a little tease, a week one teaser when we'll already have, you know, wet our beak in a considerable way with the Thursday nighter on NBC, right? And then we'll take a look at the rest of it about what could mean huge. But I'm going to pluck one out right now.
You're going to pluck it?
Before we get to the phone calls here and a little bit of an injury news update. And we'll pluck one right here.
Take a look.
About the difference between 1-0 and 0-1 and what the pressures can mean to build because week two means 0-2. Oh, my Lord. 2-0 could be last year, like first a team that goes 2-0. Remember when the 49ers went 2-0 last year and we're all like, oh, okay, big deal. So what?
Right.
Because I think they did one in they beat Jacksonville. I'm just trying to remember 2019 off the top of my head. Didn't the Niners? Was it the Niners who? No, I think the Chiefs beat Jacksonville in Week One. But did the Niners beat them in Week Two? Look at the 2019 schedule. Who did the Niners beat to go 2-0? I remember a lot of people were like, "Okay, so what?" And we all know that they were the last undefeated team in the NFL last year, right? So who do they beat in Week Two?
They beat the Bucks Week One. They beat the Bengals Week Two.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And then beat the Steelers.
Okay, but Week Three, that was after Big Ben was out.
Yep.
Right.
And I think they gave up a long one to Juju Smith-Schuster as the Steelers almost won that game out west. And the reason why I remember that is there were so few and far between for those of us who drafted Juju Smith-Schuster in fantasy last year. But basically my point is that it's a big difference between 1-0 and 0-1, and then you can go 2-0 and really build. But if you go to 0-1, what does that mean? It's just 1 week. Not in certain parts, not in certain years. And for the case of the Chicago Bears, if they lose to the Detroit Lions in week one, if Mitchell Trubisky comes out and Mitch steps on his Trubisky in week one, will there be a hue and cry for Nick Foles? Does Matt Nagy even have a touch of the O'Brien in him to pull the trigger at halftime?
Whoa.
You know?
Week one?
Who was that dude that started week one?
Savage. Not Fred.
Tom Savage.
Tom. Remember Tom Savage? Randy. He's our starter over Deshaun Watson. And who trotted out halftime? Deshaun Watson. I know that. I remember that because we did the Thursday night football game the next week. Deshaun Watson started in Cincinnati, his first career start on a short week
low
with no
game,
tight
right?
ends because they were all banged up and in concussion protocol after week one. And they were struggling mightily on offense until Deshaun Watson ran one in from midfield before halftime.
Right.
Texans at Cincinnati, week two of that season, I remember. Like I was there for Deshaun Watson's first career start. Not much offense after that, but it was enough. A lot of Kaimi Fairbairn splitting the uprights. Was that who it was?
13-9 that day.
Yeah, that was a lot. So, again, difference between 1-0, you can go 2-0 right away. But the Bears, if the Bears start 0-1, what happens next as Chicago then takes on the Giants? What if they lose to the Giants, too?
0-2.
What if they start off with a loss at Detroit and a loss at home against the Giants? And they go, again, home and away is not going to mean all that much in this pandemic. With the exception of creature comfort and being able, one would think, to not have to go through certain protocols on the road, and teams are going to have to get used to that. What if the Lions go 1-0? Right? What if your Detroit Lions go 1-0 and then they're at Green Bay, and we know last year with a full-on house, right? Stafford almost pulled it off. They looked terrific in Green Bay last year. What if the Lions start rolling? That first week is big. Because if the Lions go 0-1, then at Green Bay, you're saying the next step could be a Lulu, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Then
Kyler, man.
Chicago could go Lions, beat the Lions, and beat the Giants at home, and off they go. The difference between 1-0 and 0-1 is huge for both of these teams. And you like the Lions as your sleeper team this year.
I do.
No one's talking about this because obviously Green Bay and Minnesota would take up the attention of anybody who really just wants to be all in on NFC North football in week one. Lurking. Some serious week ones lurk. I'll give you another one. What if Jacksonville goes 1-0?
I think we're all very shocked.
Doug Marrone
Indy.
Had an issue with the Tank Talk today. Let me get this quote for you. I saw it this morning when I got here because, again, NFL Network, the assignment desk, and the news desk, they are terrific. Nothing escapes. Doug Marrone dismissed the Tank Talk today. Says he feels the team is going to be special.
What?
I really feel this team can be special. I don't have an opportunity to go through rebuilding. We have to go out and win games. There you go.
That's another team that's running back by committee.
Oh, I mean, isn't it pretty much everything by committee with the exception of the quarterback?
And Jacksonville? I'm wrong. But Chris Thompson is, I think, going to
get I guess so.
Maybe half the carry.
I don't have the opportunity to be in a rebuild. That's true.
You could say that about any head coach except maybe Belichick and Tomlin.
I don't know. You name a new head coach, like obviously Cincinnati's, obviously Brian Flores. There's expectations this year, but if the Dolphins go 6-10, you think they're going to blame him? If they do, they're foolish. If they do, they'll turn to Tua, lickety-split. If they start going down that road, Tua coming in and playing games, we're not talking about that right now either, but how lit up will we all be to watch him play a football game?
I think he's maybe the most
nobody's talking about
anticipated him. Quarterback we're waiting to see.
Well, for this year?
Yeah, for rookies, yeah.
Look at us talking football. I freaking love it. All right, Randy in Long Island, New York. Let's line two, Mikey. What's up, Randy?
Hey, Rich. Thank you for having me. Big fan of yours.
Thank you. Where in Long Island are you from, brother?
Long Island. Farmingville. Long Island.
Is that Nassau or Suffolk? Right on the
that
line?
That is Suffolk.
Suffolk.
That is,
okay.
If you have to put the dot in the middle of Long Island.
Right there.
That would be it.
I got you.
All right, so two things, all right?
Yep.
Danny Dimes' is second year, okay?
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Stop.
Thank you, Randy.
Randy, hold on a second. Randy, you sound like a guy I either grew up with or went to summer camp with, all right? So I feel like even though we're meeting right now that we're kind of simpatico. Do you, Randy, in any conversations with your friends, ever refer to Daniel Jones as Danny Dimes as you just did on the Rich Eisen show? Do you really do that?
I've been calling him Danny Dimes, but my dad started calling him Danny Fumbles last year.
Now that's the Randy I have just met and I thought I knew. That's the Randy we're talking about.
You're too funny. Danny Dimes, you too. And then obviously Joe Judge. I mean, everything that I'm reading, this guy looks like he's dead serious.
I thought it was an inspired choice at coach. And you know, according to those in the know, Mara and Tish were both like, okay, and Belichick calling him up. Obviously, Belichick's from the Giants family. Anything also maybe to help out a guy who Belichick respects to take over a market in which the Jets reside? I'm sure Bill had a nice little flourish on his recommendation.
Are we talking playoffs or what?
That's a drop.
To answer your question in short, I would say, or what? You know, I think this is going to be a build. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a build.
Okay.
And, you know, but Saquon is delightful. I think somebody did a prediction for him last night. I forget who it was. 10 touchdowns running, 10 touchdowns receiving, 20 touchdowns for Saquon this year.
I think it was Kurt.
Was that Kurt who did that last night? Yeah. I mean, he's special, and I hope, you know, I hope it's Danny Dimes instead of Danny Fumbles for you, but and your dad.
Well, Rich, thank you so much for having me on air. If you want to, you can follow me at my @CAPANY777. You're more than welcome to follow me. I don't have that many followers, but you're more than welcome.
Randy, don't lose this number. Please call back.
You're the man, Rich.
That's
thank
right.
you.
That's Randy in Long Island. Do we have a new
a new drop.
Are we talking playoffs or what?
I mean, I can use
when do we bust out that segment? Like week six, week seven?
That may be a segment. I agree.
We should, if we could play commercial music, set playoffs or what to turn down for what?
Are we talking playoffs? Dun, what? Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. Playoffs or what?
By the way, this dude's avatar.
Rand's great.
At @CAPANY777.
Oh, that was a blast.
Is exactly what you think his avatar is going to be by hearing his voice.
Blast from the past.
I
mean,
I agree, Rich.
I literally felt like I was hosting a show on the fan right there for a second. That's us growing up.
Exactly.
Right?
Our life as kids. Amazing. It was amazing.
We talking playoffs or what?
We talking playoffs or what?
Oh, my gosh. Do you have any injury news over there that you want to hit, Chris? Because, I mean, you know, let's unload a little bit of that.
Yeah, so
we'll take your phone calls in a second.
About Von Miller this morning, Ian Rappaport said the specific diagnosis is a dislocated perennial tendon in his ankle. Basically, the tendon flipped over the ankle bone. Best option is usually surgery, recovery time of 5 to 6 months.
Oh.
Absolute best case scenario, 3 months. So that would put him end of the year, playoffs, possibly.
If no surgery,
yeah.
Talk about a freak injury.
Yeah.
I am sorry, Broncos fans, if me proclaiming your team being the sleeper team of 2020 had anything to do with angering the football gods to make this happen. And I'll tell you what, though, I'll stick to it. I'll stick to it. Maybe they're going to be the ultimate sleeper team and have Vaughn come back and play some meaningful games in December.
Maybe. Hopefully. A little wide receiver fantasy stuff. Mike Evans did not go today. Bruce Arians calling it a soft tissue injury, and he's day-to-day. Of course, that's usually hamstring, calf, something like that. But we'll see what happens when the injury report comes out tomorrow.
Right.
Ron Rivera saying running back by committee for the Washington football team. Almost did it. Rams head coach Sean McVay said the same thing. Going to be a three-back committee there out here in Los Angeles. Cam Akers, Malcolm Brown, and Daryl Henderson. And golf news real quick.
Yes.
Brooks Koepka just posted withdrawing from next week's U.S. Open.
Huh. Why?
Looks like injury for him. He said
he's not been the same.
He said, "I'm looking forward to getting healthy and competing at 100%." So I would bet to say that he is not feeling 100%.
Now, Dustin Johnson, it's time, right, for the United States Open?
Yeah, I would say
he's got to be
overwhelming,
the favorite, right? Overwhelming right the way that he's playing.
I can get you a number on that in a second if you're curious.
Okay. No Brooks Koepka, huh?
That's a bummer.
That is that.
But Brooks did not look right the last two
He hasn't.
Rounds
he hasn't looked.
PGA,
I mean, no. In the PGA Championship, when you're expecting him, like, hey, this is time when he's going to have his weekend, and he went the other direction. All right, let's go to Tim in San Diego, hopefully listening to us on the Mightier 1090 every single day between 9 a.m. and noon Pacific time. What's up, Tim? Line two, Mikey.
I watch you guys on TV every day.
Okay, that sounds good, but we're on the Mightier 1090 anyway. If you want to give us a listen.
Yeah,
great.
I actually found them on the radio the other day.
Love it. We appreciate it. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to say go Padres and go Chargers. You know, we got football coming this weekend. What do you think the Chargers are going to do this year?
Great question, man.
Another team nobody's talking about.
Nobody's talking about them.
Great question. That's one of those week one games if you go 1-0 against Cincinnati and then you come home and you try and beat the Chiefs in your opener in the Stan Canyon just up the road from the Rich Eisen Show studio. That is a great question. Derwin James being out concerns me. I'm wondering if Austin Eckler can hold up for 16. We'll see what Tyrod Taylor is going to look like. How quickly would they go to Justin Herbert?
Yeah, I was wondering why they aren't going after Earl Thomas since Derwin James got hurt. I don't know.
That's a good question. Based on reporting that I have also seen, that nobody's even called the Ravens to do any homework due diligence on
him. Yeah, I saw that as well.
You know, I think James Slater tweeted that out today, that the Cowboys, when they redid Zach Martin's contract for $8 million in cap space, that folks think, well, there's Earl Thomas's slot. And she said, don't go in that direction. They haven't even reached out to the Ravens to do homework, right? I think that's what it was. So I don't know what's going on with Earl Thomas. I do not know. But the rest of the league is definitely staying away from him. I know you don't call in the show for I don't know answers, but I give them when I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, Chargers are a 10-win team when they can easily be 6 and vice versa.
At this point, usually the Chargers are getting a lot of talk on the, you know, talk shows, but this year there's not a lot of talk because Rivers is gone. I mean, most of the talk's about Rivers, but, you know, they should have some kind of year, but I figured maybe for 4 wins.
Well, they also redid Keenan Allen's contract. Thanks for the call. They gave Keenan some coin. They're just they're under the radar too. I don't think anybody, because again, the Chiefs are expected to run away with the division, and then there's the Raiders. Like, what the hell to think of them? There was a
16-0 man.
Thank you, appreciate that.
I mean,
I really, like, what to think of them? Nate Peterman is one twisted ankle away from being the starting quarterback for Gruden and Mayock. I love that kid, Henry Ruggs.
Yeah, I love Darren Waller.
I know. Waller, Josh Ruggs, Jacobs. And Josh Jacobs and Derek Carr. I mean,
they've got it.
I know.
They've got it.
New stadium.
Oh, did you just go higher register?
They got
the Raiders might be our first.
The Raiders might be. Yeah, okay. They got it.
Women can go higher. The first higher register on Friday's show will be teams that predicting better seasons for teams than you think.
Here's the problem. Okay. Tough go right out of the gate. First 5 weeks: Panthers, Saints, Patriots, Bills, Chiefs. Ooh. That's tough. I mean, you're looking
at do that for everybody.
But
in
I'm
the
saying you're looking at maybe 1-4 there. That's a tough start.
I mean, you could do that again for Miami. Hey, New England, Buffalo, Jacksonville. You got to say it that way. Seattle, San Francisco. Here's San Francisco's first five: Arizona, Jets, Giants, Philly, Miami.
I mean, that could be.
That could be
4-1.
That's not.
You know.
No, that's a bad example, I guess. Minnesota, Green Bay, Indianapolis, Tennessee, Houston, Seattle, Atlanta. That's not easy. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. More phone calls. When we come back, we'll return to talk about a little bit of basketball with Lamorne Morris, who from a new show on Hulu premiering today called Woke.
Buy tickets now for Modern Drummer Festival 2020, streaming on Live by Live, Saturday, September 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Catch performances from more than 30 of the world's best drummers, including Chad Smith of Red Hot Chili Peppers, Taylor Hawkins of Foo Fighters, Mike Portnoy, Cindy Blackman Santana, and many more. Plus, a special tribute to drumming legend Neil Peart. All proceeds benefit brain tumor research at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in honor of Neil Peart. Get your tickets today at livexlive.com/moderndrummer and tune in September 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern, only on Live by Live.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com, G-E-I-C-O.com. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Let's check in on our poll question at Rich Eisen Show. Where does that currently stand, Chris? What do you got for me over there?
Yeah, we were looking at teams that won their division in 2019. Which one of these is most likely to miss the playoffs here in 2020? Mm-hmm. Throughout the Eagles, Packers, Patriots, Texans. Pretty split so far. Do you want to put your thumb on this at all?
Eagles, Packers, Patriots, Texans.
Yeah, 2019 division winner most likely to miss the playoffs.
I'm thinking
this year.
That this is going to be split between the Eagles and the Patriots, that there's enough people out there that despise the Patriots who think this is the year that they actually miss the playoffs, and that there's just a ton of Cowboys fans who think it's just easy to swap the top at the NFC East. So I think that those are the two top teams in our poll.
Yeah, you know it. Patriots 32%, Eagles 27%, Texans 24%, Packers 17%.
We're back here on NBCSN. Our quadcast family is all together. Chris Brockman for our NBCSN audience and those rejoining us on our radio affiliates. What do you have for the poll question results as they currently
stand?
Yeah,
so we're looking at a handful of 2019 division winners most likely to miss the playoffs this year throughout Eagles, Packers, Patriots, Texans. What say you, Rich Eisen?
I say the team that's most likely to miss the playoffs on this list are the Eagles.
Eagles,
Just say that just because I don't think two teams are making it in the NFC East, and I think if the Eagles show up and play similar to football this year as they did last year, even if it's improved by one game, I'm hoping for you, TJ, that the Cowboys improve so well that everybody else is saying that that wouldn't be good enough to win the division last year's performance. So I'm not saying that the Eagles are going to fall off so terribly that they miss the playoffs. They could be a 7 seed. It's possible. That's the one thing as well. Like, all four of those teams could actually make it, because we're saying that the 7 seed means one more team that hasn't made it has an opportunity to make it. And I'm saying that this is now more of an opportunity for all 6 teams from 1 year's playoffs to return. You know? And it's funny, again, that we're in the day and age where, for the first time as a broadcaster, whether it was me starting off in Redding, California in 1994 and being on ESPN from 96 to 03 and being on NFL Network since 03, it's the first time that I did not call the playoff format since 1990 current. It's no longer current. It's a whole new playoff system. So the so-called current playoff system since 1990 is rest in peace after 30 seasons. And in 30 seasons, on average, 5.7 new playoff teams per year, combining both conferences. And there were never any fewer than 4 new playoff teams each year in the 30 years of that format.
I love that. Always turnover.
So now we'll see what happens here with the 7th then. 844-204-RICH. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll take your call before the end of this hour and the end of this show that we're kind enough, has enough time left in it to take a phone call from the star of Hulu, the star of Woke on Hulu that premieres today on that streaming service. And he, his work, you know, from all his years on New Girl, Lamorne Morris here on The Rich Eisen Show. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I am fine. What is on your brain in the sports world on this day as you call into this show before we get to your show?
Lakers basketball.
Okay.
Lakers basketball. I'm a huge LeBron fan, so I'll admit it. You know, I'm a traitor. Wherever he goes, I go.
Okay. No. You're not a traitor. I think too harsh a word. I think vagabond might be a word. You know, that might be too, you know, harsh as well. Mercenary, you know.
Yeah, I'll go
but
mercenary.
You're not making money off it, I imagine, personally. But why LeBron? No, are you from Ohio, or what is it? Just you just always have been fascinated by him?
Yeah, when Michael Jordan left basketball, there was a huge – I'm from Chicago.
Okay,
so
then.
When Jordan left basketball, there was a huge void, and I didn't know what I was going to do with myself. Like, it's like that Will Ferrell sketch where he's like, I don't know what to do with my hands right now. So
right.
For me – I didn't know what to do. So I started hearing about this kid in Ohio, and we're roughly the same age. He's a year younger than me, although he looks about 30 years older. He was dominating basketball, and his games would come on TV, they would come on ESPN, and I was like,
oh, this is the guy. Like, he's my – I enjoy watching him play so much so that I've seen every single game since, you know, his senior year in high school pretty much.
And so now you're all in with the Lakers.
All in. All in.
So how concerned are you about the Clippers, however, potentially on the horizon here?
Extremely. I'm extremely concerned because I think, like, in basketball, you know, it's an emotional game. And when the players on the Lakers have all this pressure sometimes that the ball could go either way. You know, LeBron could miss a free throw, perhaps. He could, you know. Although I think LeBron's miles better than Kawhi Leonard, I love Kawhi Leonard, and I think he's a legit robot. Like, I genuinely think he doesn't have emotion. He is not affected by anything whatsoever. His shot will remain the same.
Yes.
He doesn't get swayed by the moment, and I feel like that can be dangerous in crunch time. So I feel like, you know, I'm definitely aware of the Clippers, and I definitely think that they could win the championship this year. I think this is the Lakers' year, though.
By the way,
with AD,
yeah,
you know, I just, yeah.
By the way, I agree with Kawhi as a Westworld NBA player. I think I'm buying in on
that.
Pretty
good.
You know, you like that idea?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
If Westworld's next season involves professional basketball. Maybe Kawhi could play in that. And obviously he is, you know, trying. It's funny, both of these players, LeBron and Kawhi, are trying to do what is so rare, which is win a third NBA title with a third different team. That is something that is so rare. And it's why, you know, with the ultimate respect to the Nuggets and the Rockets, that is the match. That would be remarkable viewing.
It would be great for TV, but it would be really bad for my heart and my anxiety. So go ahead, Denver, and just, you know,
that's nice.
And beat them. I'm okay. I'm okay with that matchup.
Hey, again, before we get to your show, Lamorne Morris of Hulu's Woke here on the Rich Eisen Show. What did you think of The Last Dance? I assume, being a Bulls fan and a Jordan fan, that you watched that documentary when we were all stuck in deep quarantine back this spring.
It was some of the greatest television I've ever seen in my life.
I agree.
I mean, it was one of those things that it reminded me of my childhood. It also reminded me of this debate that we always talk about, the Jordan versus LeBron debate.
Yep.
And for me, you know, it didn't solidify. Now, I'm not sure if I'm being controversial when I say this. I think LeBron's the greatest player of all time. Like, I really do. But when you watch this documentary, you start to take a few steps back and go, wait, hold on.
Right.
I forgot about that.
Right.
I forgot about that, too. And it's really difficult. I still think LeBron's the greatest player of all time, and I know I'm on an island on certain sides of that coin, but that documentary, one, reminded me of how TV should be. It was so dramatic. I mean, damn. Like, even though it already happened, even though I lived through it all, I could not wait for the next episode.
Well, I don't.
You know, even though I knew.
Yeah, I don't know if you're alone. I mean, you're on an island. I just don't know if you're alone on that island. Again, how old are you? You said you're right around LeBron's age. So, like,
yeah, I'm 37.
37. All right. I mean, like, it's just so you were you remember when Jordan played. And again, I think that the reason why that documentary is so crucial is I think it should remind everybody that this was an era, you know, obviously he had his Pippen and everybody has their, you know, if you will, second in command in this era of basketball, as well as we're talking about LeBron and AD and we're talking about Kawhi and Paul George. But it just was a different era where you don't leave to join anybody. You just stick where you are. And you beat the crap out of everybody, and then you retire and you come back and you invite everybody to get you back into shape while you're shooting Space Jam, and then you jam it where the sun does not shine. And I don't see anybody in the current NBA having that sort of mentality.
Yeah. I think nowadays a lot of the players have the ability to move and go wherever they want to go. And everybody, you know, back in the day, a team, an organization would put together these rosters.
Right.
And if a star emerges, then the world jumps on, you know, marketing, media, all these things, and we crown one person on that team the star, right? Which is fair because Michael Jordan was very clearly the star of not just his team but the league, of sports in general during that time. But with nowadays, everyone has all these endorsements, these brand deals, with social media, that everybody wants to be the star of their own team. And a lot of times you have, you know, Westbrook and Harden, like, who's the star of that team? You know, both players are both MVPs, both scoring champs, both assist leaders, you know, both have crazy amount of fans and money. You know, you can't call one of them Robin. You know, you can't you dare to call one of them Pippin. But in this day and age, you know, that's just how it is. So even though The Last Dance reminded us of an era like that, I just feel like now everybody, the reason why it's different is because everybody has the ability to be that person now. Lamar, and championships, I feel like, could be on the back of people's minds.
Lamar Morris here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about your new show that you're starring in called Woke, that premieres today on Hulu. I give you the floor on this show, what you like about it and why people should watch it.
Wow. So Woke is about a real guy, a cartoonist that, by the name of Keith Knight, who was based out of San Francisco. And he was kind of, you know, very ambiguous politically. Like, he would walk down the middle. He didn't want to ruffle any feathers on either side, so he just kept his head down and created his very boring cartoon comic strips, right, until one day something happened to him which caused his awareness to become more vast. He started seeing things differently, and when I say differently, he literally starts getting confronted with inanimate objects where he thinks he's going crazy. So we've got Cedric the Entertainer, who plays a trash can in his neighborhood, who starts talking to him. His marker that he draws with, his Sharpie, is a racist marker played by J.B. Smoove. We've got Tony Hale from Veep, Sam Richardson. We got a crazy cast of these characters around him. Blake Anderson from Workaholics, T. Murph, the comedian from Chicago. We've got a great cast. And it's about his awakening. So on one hand, he's about to become this huge success in the comic strip world. But does he blow it all up because he now wants to speak on racial issues and, you know, injustice is happening in his neighborhood? Or does he just keep his head down, collect the money, and keep it moving? And that's what drew me to the show, because for me, that's kind of how I live my life. Even still, you know, politics is not something that I dive into so much. I just want to act. It's hard enough trying to get a job as it is. You just want to do your thing and not ruffle any feathers. But then a lot of times these things that keep happening make you want to say something or at least investigate more to see why certain things are happening. And so for me, that's what drew me to the show, and hopefully that's what fans take away from the show.
Heck of a cast, man, and that's a heck of a concept, and it starts streaming today on Hulu. Lamorne, I really appreciate the call. Congrats on this show, and let's revisit this Lakers issue maybe in a couple weeks. How does that sound?
Yes, please do, after they win.
Okay, that's right. Okay, I'm sorry. I said that sentence wrong. A couple of weeks should have been after they win. My bad. You take care of yourself. Thanks for the call.
All right, you too. You take it easy.
That's Lamorne Morris. Check out Woke on Hulu. In the history of our show, one of the top five funniest people to that we've come across and had here, J.B. Smoove, has to be top five. Larry David saying that that's the guy that
makes
cracks
him
up the most. Yeah. Makes him break.
Makes him break.
J.B. Smoove.
J.B.
Our Rich Eisen Show Super Bowl correspondent for 4 years in a row we had him, right?
Five?
Did we?
All five.
Ran out of material on throwing in Brady, going to Brady and Belichick's podium. He ran out of material.
Too many times with those guys.
I know, right?
Lamping. One of the greatest.
Gosh almighty.
I mean, we lamped a lot. During.
All right, let's take this one last phone call and then set up the rest of the week.
Let's do it.
That's Michael in the state of Washington. What's up, sir?
Hey, what's going on, Rich? Nice to talk to you, sir.
Thanks for making the call.
Good. Hey, how are you doing?
I'm fine. What's on your mind?
I'm just at home, remote learning, three kids at home, which is an awesome experience.
Gosh.
Good luck.
Let us provide you at least 60 seconds of an oasis talking ball. What's on you? What do you got? What can I do to help?
You know what? So you know, I have to ask. I'm a Yankee fan and a Mariner fan growing up.
Okay.
And my youngest son wears number 2. My oldest son wears number 24.
Okay.
I have to see that the Mariners are about to overtake our Yankees here in the wild card. It looks like it's going to happen.
I don't even want to discuss it.
My main question is...
Number 24 is for Tino Martinez, right?
Well, no. Number 24 for Griffey.
Oh, my bad.
Wow.
And then number two, because they both were voted out by one vote.
Oh, yeah. They do have that club. That's right.
And I feel like you and I are the only people that are kind of upset about that.
You know what? I know there's tons of Mariner fans upset about Griffey, but Yankee fans will never forget. We still do not know. And I'm sorry, I got to run, but call back tomorrow, and I'm sure you're remote learning your kids tomorrow. We're up against it, as they say in our industry.
Who the one
sorry,
vote
Michael.
Was, right?
We still don't know, do we?
No.
We still do not know. That person lurks on the planet somewhere, and that person must be outed. Why not own it at this point in time? Why not own it?
No, you don't want it.
What do you mean you don't want to?
They have to hide. They have to hide.
No, you don't. You should own it.
Full Bartman? Like, why? Who cares?
Yeah, they're going to be like Bartman.
If you say,
that's like Bartman.
Either case, until if you say, no, Ken Griffey Jr., I don't think you were first ballot Hall of Fame worthy. No, Derek Jeter, I don't think you were first ballot Hall of Fame worthy. Own it.
But then you have to explain it.
Fine.
And they're probably not. They just did it because they're...
So maybe it's as simple as I'm a spiteful... ignorant human being. And it's as quick to say something like that, and then you're done.
They won't say that, though.
Thanks to Paul Rudd, Kyle Brandt, Aqib Tlaib, and Lamorne Morris here on The Rich Eisen Show. Tomorrow, Matt Iseman and Akbar Baja Biamila of American Ninja Warrior, the way, you could see on Peacock Premium right away. Right away. So if it's on this week, you can see it right on Peacock Premium. You will see them on Peacock tomorrow on The Rich Eisen Show. Delightful humans. Final poll results. Do people agree with me about the Philadelphia Eagles?
Patriots, 32%.
Wow.
Oh, wow. How about them apples? Whew. We'll see you on Thursday's edition of The Rich Eisen Show on the Quadcast.
Hey, it is Ross Tucker from the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, among other NFL-related podcasts, the former NFL offensive lineman, and yes, we are going to have an NFL season. It is here, thankfully. So, if you want to bet on the games, it is the Even Money Podcast. If you just want to play fantasy football, Fantasy Feast Podcast, or every day your NFL fix, the aforementioned Ross Tucker Football Podcast.